The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
It's a strange gospel, I think. Well, it is strange. It clearly illustrates, I think, what have been two parallel belief systems that you'll find in every religion in the world. And it's reflected in Judaism between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, one side believed that life lasts forever, and the other side argued that this is the only life. And then it's over. And we Christians, in our Christian tradition, we take it for granted that life is eternal, because we believe in the resurrection. We believe that this is what Jesus believed. But in fact, that has not been the case with much of the world. And it's still not the case. I get, you know, there's hardly any bookstores any longer. But years ago, when I was going to the bookstore, every year I'd go in to get the section with atheist books were more and more and more. They were getting, that section was growing quite a bit. But, you know, a lot of people don't believe in life eternal. It's sort of surprising to most of us, I think. But as I asked at the beginning, is there real life now? When does it begin? The question is, when is the real life? Is it now, or is it later? Or is it something else? And those who believe that the real life is now, we would probably call them atheists or materialists. In Jesus' own lifetime, the group that believed that the real life is now were called the Sadducees. And it was one half of the Jewish people. And they were divided into two groups. Sort of like Catholics and Protestants. They had the Jewish people had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the Sadducees believed that this life was it and it's over. The Pharisees believed, as Jesus believed, that life goes on, that it is eternal. You know, often the first reading, I don't know what you're going to preach about, Mark, but the first reading today gets a great deal of attention, because of the torture and the gore. People seem to like that stuff. I mean, look at it. I mean, I go to a movie and then I see what's coming, the attractions, and I'm like, whoa, you got to be kidding me. There's nothing but torture and gore. And of course, we love Halloween too. I don't know. It gives us some first hints in Judaism that story that there might be such a thing as eternal life. As we read of these young boys who are being killed and believing that, in fact, they will live forever. It was a promise and a hope. So what's the question? Is the real life just now? Well, frankly, those who believe that their real life is just now, I think they tend to take this life much more seriously. When I was thinking about this, I was a deacon. I was a deacon for a year, transitional deacon. As when you get to be a priest, you spend a year in diaconate. And I spent it at St. Mary Magdalene's in Berkeley, California. I did that so I could keep going to the Graduate Theological Union, getting the studies so that I could get to priesthood faster, and also being a deacon in the parish. In the parish, I made friends with the Madigans, and his wife, Tom's wife, was Jewish, Marge. And Marge invited me to a Seder meal over in with the family in San Francisco one year. So I went over and I joined with the Jewish people in celebrating the Seder. And after the meal, one of them said to me, "You know, Richard, we don't believe in eternal life. And yet, these people were some of the most dedicated people to the poor and to social change, to making the world a better place, because they didn't believe that it was some kind of reward and punishment system for a later life. It was all about now, about being a true mensch, as they would say it, being a true human being, which in itself is its own reward." I think we have a lot to learn from that, because many of us, I don't know, put off the real life to the next world. And frankly, an awful lot of Christians don't take this life very seriously at all, it seems, when we see what we're doing to Mother Earth and to the environment, in the way that we treat the earth and how we treat one another, how we've killed one another in war almost nonstop in Christian history. Just read your history books. And you realize we don't take this world very seriously at all. But there's a downside, I think, to totally believing that the real life is in the next world. When you think of it, both systems have its plus and its minuses. So what, therefore, is this gospel about? Well, don't ask me. Let me tell you what I think. I think the gospel, it's revealed in this somewhat obtuse saying of Jesus, is that the real life is both now and then. How you do it now is how it will be forever. Brothers and sisters, God only gives you exactly what you want, and that's all. It's really very simple. Your life right now is saying what you want. I mean, if you want a life of negativity, of separation, of judgments, of hatred, well, that's hell. And it begins now, right now. And there are people, I'm afraid, who are going to church this weekend who are living in hell. And they're not going to be surprised. God gives you what you want. And it's basically non-existence. Not to love is not to live. Not to love is not to live forever. And some people choose non-existence. Some people choose hatred and hell. And it's sad. But if you're choosing to love, then you're choosing the eternal element that exists forever. If you're choosing to love and you're choosing to serve this world and the poor and your neighbor, then you're already in heaven. And maybe it doesn't seem that way, it doesn't feel like that, but it's the foretaste of the promise. And by the way, Jesus isn't putting down marriage in the reading. I think he's simply saying that marriage is a school of eternity, because at least you're learning how to be united to one other person. But the reason he says that heaven will not be about marriage is because heaven is a universal connection, not just with one person, but with everything and everyone. Everything you have loved will be with you in eternity. And many of us will be happy to know that includes our dogs and our cats and our horses. If you have never loved anything, then you have no heaven to go to. And if you have hated every day for a different reason, then you'll be very at home in hell. I mean, that's what you've chosen. You know, if you'd like to be, again, separate, you'd like to be negative, judgmental, cantankerous, you'd like to be oppositional, brothers and sisters, don't make that mistake, because it's all about now. As now, so forever. The best one-liner that I've quoted for years is from St. Catherine of Siena, who was a Dominican saint, a doctor of the church. And she says this. She says, "It's heaven all the way to heaven, and it's hell all the way to hell."